Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the SBC podcast. With us today, we have Dr. Mark Golston, psychiatrist, executive coach, consultant, an author, speaker, so many fascinating topics that he covers. And today, we are going to probably zero in on preemptive conflict resolution. That is something that he came up with and he addresses and he coaches people on. Mark, before I let you jump in, I definitely want you to make sure you address the elephant in the room for a lot of small businesses, which you say avoid it at your own risk. So with that, welcome, Mark.
Well, Rashid, thank you. It's great to be on with you. And it's interesting because I work with a lot of founders and entrepreneurs, and HR people will smile when I say this, because this is the elephant in the room, and often the founder, entrepreneur dump it on HR, deal with it. And what the elephant in the room is conflicts with people. And entrepreneurs and founders, they love coming up with a vision, strategy, product, services, and iterating it. They just love that. But they can't stand people problems. In fact, I spoke in Russia a couple times, and I was interviewed on their top business publication. And there was an article that I was interviewed for, and it got the most views of any article in the history of the publication, 480,000 views.
Wow, and in Russia.
And the title of the article was, "Entrepreneurs and Leaders Hate the Word People."
Wow, that's big. That's shocking.
And the reason being is people are messy. And I'll tell you, I can't mention companies, but I work with companies in which the co-founders, you know, started out as friends, and then it became so messy and they couldn't deal with the conflict. So they had a good enough business that they attracted private equity, and basically they wanted to bring in a professional CEO to deal with it because they couldn't deal with it. And what happened is, and this is what happens, by the way, with entrepreneurs, usually the visionary has the DNA of the products, and there's often a partner who executes things. And I've just seen this pattern so many times.
Right.
When an investor comes in, like private equity, what'll happen is they'll give them both checks to begin with. Mm-hmm. They'll get rid of the one who can execute, because the reason that private equity is coming in is because they're not executing well. They have a good product or service. So they get rid of the one who can execute because there's nothing special about him or her. Mm-hmm. They'll hold on to the one who has the vision and the DNA. But if they get in the way, they'll give them a check later on and get rid of them.
Right, right.
And it just happens so often.
And then the partners too between them can also fall apart because they cannot address those types of situations, or they may just walk away from the business or let it go down to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's because people conflict. You know what it is? When I coach founders and entrepreneurs, and HR will agree with this, there's a saying, where there's a will, there's a way. I don't know, maybe it comes from the Bible. People have heard of it. It's actually backwards. It's not where there's a will, there's a way. It's actually where there is a way that is doable by normal, regular people. You don't have to be an expert psychologist. Mm. When there is a way that you as a regular person can do, you will find the will to deal with conflicts.
So are you talking about processes versus relying on, you know, willpower and things like that, or having jigsaws and... Just like a carpenter, you know, once they put the jigsaws in place, they can follow them, or is that right. What you're talking about? Something else?
Right. So what we came up with is something called preemptive conflict resolution. Mm-hmm. It's a clumsy term, but if you use it, you can actually prevent having conflicts. And preemptive means focusing on the future before the conflict happens. Because what will happen is conflicts are inevitable. Inevitable between you and your spouse, you and your kids, your kids and each other. And so the point is, founders and entrepreneurs don't want to think about conflicts because they're not skilled in it. So what preemptive means, and I can even try it with you, Rashid, because we come from different cultures. Mm-hmm. And what preemptive means is when you begin a partnership. Now, you're wanting to cross cultures, genders, races, generations. Mm-hmm. What you say to the other person, you know, if we go forward, so I would say to you, Rashid, you know, if you and I work on something, I don't know what that might be. You never know what happens in this world. Right. But if we work on something, mm-hmm. We're going to have a relationship. And going forward, can you tell me what people of my generation, my culture, my gender, what is it that I must always do? And what is it that I must never do in, you know, going into the future that would really create a conflict between us? Mm-hmm. And so when I talk with millennials, because yeah. I'm a baby boomer, they'll say, okay, something you should never do is don't go into war stories. Just don't go on and on. Just get to the point already. Mm-hmm. It's almost like all you baby boomers, you know, it's kind of like your past is bigger than your future. Yeah. Just stop going on and on about it. Get to the point.
Yeah. I hear too, don't tell us how tough it was for you or, you know.
There you go. And so, see, I already got you to buy in because you're saying, Mark, nothing personal, but you baby boomers, you get into that drive, that's crazy. Okay. So by preempting.
No, I get it too, because I grew up in a tough environment. You know, I grew up with no running water or electricity. And I mean, I'm not a spring chicken either, but so I get it too, like a little bit, you know, from younger generations. So.
And so you can say that where I developed it is I'm the chief mentor at a company called China Foundation. It's in Shanghai and Beijing. And what China Foundation does is it facilitates the cooperation between American Fortune 500 managers mm-hmm. and Chinese workers. And so what would happen is, you know, American managers just don't understand Chinese workers. So what we instilled is, you know, when the managers come in, they kind of scare the workers because the workers are subordinates. But what they would say to the workers is say, look, we're going to develop a relationship. So going forward, what must we always do and what must we never do?
Right.
So we don't offend you. We don't come off as jerks.
Yeah.
And what happens when you do that to another person, they're blown away. I mean, they're so appreciative and respectful. So for instance, you know, if we were dealing with a millennial and they said, don't tell us how tough it was. Don't tell us all these old stories. Don't think you understand us when you don't. And if I made note of that, and then I followed up and was consistent with that, that would increase the appreciation. And here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Since conflicts are inevitable, another thing you can do is you say to people going forward, in the event that we come into a conflict, or we have a difference of opinion or a disagreement, going forward, what must I always do and what must I never do to keep it at a disagreement level without it escalating into a fight?
Yeah, yeah. That is awesome. That is like having a little bit of a manual there on how to handle people, because definitely like a lot of people just default to artificial, you know, harmony rather than deal or address with these situations. But sometimes if you don't approach it in a manner, and I love how you can approach that, because then you get ahead of it, and then actually you get the buy-in from the people too, better understanding, better communication. But going a little bit further, I don't know if you finished that one train of thought there. I don't mean to interrupt you, if you had something to add to that before I ask you my next question.
I like to you know, one of my passions is I was a suicide prevention expert. I'm a psychiatrist for 30 years, and none of my patients died by suicide.
Wow. Wow. And, that's an amazing, you know, accomplishment. Wow.
Well, and I've been trying to figure out what I did. And so I did figure out what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I've been teaching parents and counselors. There's a method that we call surgical empathy, which is a way of going into people to where they're at, as opposed to expecting them to do what you want. So I'm going to give a tip to anyone listening in who has children, because children are in a tough place and they're at home, they're stir crazy, they're driving each other nuts, they're driving you nuts. But something, so here's an example of applying what I just told you. If you have teenagers And often teenagers, even when they're not locked down, you know, they fight with their parents. So something a parent can do with a teenager. Now, don't do this with a heart-to-heart talk. Teenagers hate these heart-to-heart talks unless they ask for one, and they don't ask for one. So do it when you're doing an activity together. And what you say to your teenager is, can I ask you a question? Because I'm curious what you'll answer. And hopefully, you know, they won't blow you off. Hopefully they'll say, okay, mom, okay, dad. Say, you know, my responsibility as your parent is that when you reach age 18, that you can go into the world with passion, the ability to deal with rejection and failure, the ability to stay focused, the ability to cooperate, you know, the ability to not make a big deal out of small things, the ability to not make a small deal out of big things. And I'm going to love you no matter what you do, but that's my responsibility. And if you don't become that person, I will have failed as your parent. So going forward, if that's my responsibility, is to make sure you learn those things, because if you don't, you're going to have a rough time. You're not going to succeed, and it's going to break your heart. It's going to break my heart. So given that I have to teach you that stuff, what's the best way to do it so that we're not yelling at each other, so that, you know, you're not slamming doors and I'm not just throwing my hands up saying, you know, my kid's crazy. But that's my responsibility. And then you pull it out of them. And then
I love it. I mean, I would want to memorize it just like that, because, I mean, a lot of those times we're in a reactionary mode with a lot of these things. And it's like it takes a lot of discipline and training to be able to take, you know, hindsight and turn it into foresight, and then be more proactive and do the preemptive things where you're actually able to be proactive instead of reactive. And it's easier said than done, because in the heat of the moment, for a lot of us, whether it's like someone who reports to us or like one of our kids, anybody who feel like we have some kind of authority over, not so easy to stop and try to approach it the way you described.
And you just triggered something about someone who reports to us. So again, I'm repeating these things, but you can use these as scripts if you're listening in. Because one of the biggest conflicts in a small business is when you delegate something to someone, you want to believe that once it's delegated, it's done. And then what happens is if it doesn't get done, and if they come back at you with an excuse, you get really frustrated, you get angry, but you need them. And you can't just fire them because, you know, it's you can't do that. So one of the ways to apply, again, and to repeat a similar approach but with a different script, is whenever you're delegating something to someone and you tell them or ask them to do something, and initially you might say, oh, that seems too long-winded. Well, it'll prevent a conflict. What you say to someone is, you don't say, do you understand what I've asked you to do? You say, what do you understand about what I've asked you to do? Because if you say, do you understand? And they say yes, and then they don't do it, you're going to get frustrated.
Right. And if they say no, you know, they feel bad, or they make you feel bad.
Right. And then if you say, and they're not going to say no, and you can say, what do you understand? And the reason I'm doing that is because things are clearer in my head than how I communicate. I mean, that's showing really being authentic and humble as, you know, as an owner. And they'll tell you what they understand. And then you want to increase their commitment, or you might correct that. You can say, and if they got it wrong, you could say, geez, I need to get better at communicating this. What I was hoping you would answer is such and such. This is what you tell your subordinate. And then you ask them, and can you tell me from your point of view, what's your understanding of why it's important for you to do that?
Wow.
Because when you ask that, you're tapping into respecting their mind as opposed to treating them like they're an appliance. Go do this.
Yeah.
And then they'll tell you why. And then the third question is the money shot. The third question is, in the event going forward, you're not able to do that for whatever reason, we get distracted. What's the best way for me to deal with you or approach you? If my main goal is just for you to do it, it's not to punish you or embarrass you. I know we get distracted. And then whatever they tell you, whatever they say, you say, this is really important for me to get right. And important is a great word to use with a subordinate. It's a great word to use with anyone because most people in the world feel unimportant. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, this is really important for me to get right, what you said is that if I have to do a course correction, what you said is to not do it in front of other people, to not do it by email, and to do it this way. Did I get it right? And that's important because you want them to give you a what we call a confirmatory yes. Robert Cialdini wrote a great book on influence. And he said, when you ask someone to do something, you wait for them to say yes. Yes, you got it right. And when they say yes, they're more committed to agreeing to do it in the future. And if you do this, it will lessen the time to confront someone by 50%. Because a lot of times when we have to confront someone, we say, oh, they're going to get upset. I'm going to hurt their feelings. And so we avoid it. And the way you confront them is you say, if you remember, we had a conversation a month ago. And I asked you, what's the best way to bring up something if I see that it's not getting done? And I just want you to get it done. And I don't want to embarrass you. And if I remember, this is what you told me about how to do it. And this is such a time. So I hope I'm doing it right. Wow. Do you follow me? Well, yeah, having that way. And that gives them a chance by saying that. That gives them a chance to ready themselves that they're going to get criticized.
Yeah. Wow, this is a masterclass right here. I mean, it's a training. I love it. So, Dr. Goldston, is there something else that you would like to share with the audience that didn't come up in our conversation so far? So many nuggets here, so many things like, and I like that these are specific things that people can do. And I would recommend, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to replay this many times over. And I'm going to use some of these things actually verbatim that you have said, because it's very important to the performance of us as business owners, leaders, and also for all types of relationships with our children, with our teams, and with spouses, whatever in the community. Back to you about, is there anything that maybe you wanted to share that didn't come up? And then after that, maybe how can people follow your work? How can they stay in touch with you? And whatever you share, obviously, we're going to publish with the notes of the podcast as well.
So something I haven't shared, and it's what I call the two D's. And this is something you should always bring out in a conversation when you're thinking of hiring someone, when you're thinking, if you're dating someone, when you're thinking of having a longer relationship. And what you say to someone, and you say it in a conversational way, you say to them, tell me about disappointments and disagreements in your life. They're going to say, what? Yeah, you know, we all have those. Tell me about some disappointments and disagreements you've had in your past job and your career. What you're listening for is if they're always blaming someone else, when they say they're disappointed, if it's always blaming someone else, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. If when they talk about disagreements, they're always making it the other person's fault, that's a red flag.
Yeah, no personal responsibility.
Right. And one of the way, and then the second question, if they do that, so you should be cautious about that because, see, disappointments and disagreements are inevitable. How we deal with them, you know, we can deal skills. But the second question, if they always make it someone else's fault and evade personal responsibility, is to say, no, I understand that. How do you think you contributed to the disappointment or the disagreement?
Yeah.
And again, if they come up empty, that's a real red flag. Wow. Because you can just picture you're going to have a disagreement or they're going to have a disappointment. And if what they're telling you is they're always going to blame you, stop dating that person. And don't hire that person.
Yeah, totally agree. I'm big on personal responsibility. So you know, it's something that we all have to do with our lives and with our responsibilities. Until we do, we're not really taking control of our contributions and our life, really. So with that, it has been a pleasure. It's been like a masterclass, like I said here, Dr. Mark Goldston. Everybody, we're going to share whatever you share with us to share with the audience so they can stay in touch with you and follow you. their Instagram, website. I know you have quite a few books as well.
Yeah, if you go to Amazon, I have 9 books. And I have a book called Just Listen, which became the top book on listening in the world. I have a book called Talking to Crazy, How to Deal with People Who Drive You Crazy. And I spoke in Moscow with a Nobel Prize winner, Daniel Kahneman, who wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. Yeah. And I asked them, geez, you know, I'm just, you know, an American shrink. I mean, why are you having me with a Nobel Prize winner? And they said, Doctor, his book did not go viral because my book, Talking to Crazy, in the Russian edition title is How to Talk to A-Holes. And it went viral, I mean, across the country. So, you know, you can look at Amazon. Also, markgoulston.com, markgoulston.com. But something I hope and think your listeners might like is I have a weekly LinkedIn Live show. You know, it's not just live stream. It's a show. It's called No Strings Attached. Mm-hmm. And my guests and I just give away nuggets. Like I've probably given you 3 or 4 nuggets, and we give it away for free. Yeah. And you can, if you're listening in, you can monetize it. You can create a course. You can do anything. You don't have to attribute it to my guests or I. Because what we wanted to do was create a spot on LinkedIn where you don't have to worry about someone selling you. Everybody, you know, LinkedIn's a great place, but everybody's hitting on everybody else. Mm-hmm. So this is a place of 100% pure generosity, and you can steal whatever I've given you some nuggets today. You want to create a course? God bless. You know, just go make the world better, and that's what the show is going to be about.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Love it. It's been such a pleasure. So listeners, this concludes this episode. Please be on the lookout for future ones. And of course, we will publish this on our usual blog at SBChecks blog. And then also it'll be available on your favorite listening tool for podcasts. So thank you very much.
Thank you.